Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Today, dear Sheikh, I would like to talk about the role the hormones they play in this stage, this teenage stage, in our youth's lives. And we also would like to talk about, or ask you myself, Sheikh, obviously I know the answer, but only at a surface level. Does the way that other people dress and their appearance, does that also affect how our teenagers dress?
Correct. Look, this age that we're talking about, the teenage, or for girls just before teens, you know, her age of puberty, this is a time of hormonal changes, you know. And one of the elements that is impacted by hormonal change is the sexual desires, right?
Right.
A lot of people feel that this is a taboo thing. You don't talk about it. You don't discuss with your children. Don't mention it. Don't talk about it from the mimbar or even from the talk shows like this. They're like, oh, talking about sex. Oh, my God, you know. But this is very important, because the lesser you know, the poorer you manage your children. The more you know, the clearer you are, the better you manage your children and the better you upbring them.
But just to add a little point about why it is not spoken about in the minbar or in the broad appearance and public, it's because that is the mission and that is the task, duty of the parents.
And they need to be
educated themselves about it.
And the problem is, like, let me relate this back here. The problem is that parents don't come to informational gatherings apart from Muharram and Maha Ramzan.
Right, yeah.
And the only thing that they want to attend is mimbar. If there's majlis and there's azadari and there's crying for Imam Hussein, Imam Ali alayhi salam, they come and attend it. Apart from that, if you say, okay, one lecture on child upbringing for your age 0 to
you
7,
see them all
7
gone.
To, no one's there, you know, only the speaker and his poor coffee there.
I talked to a Islamic researcher, Islamic scholar, who specializes in Islamic upbringing of children. And I asked him a question, because we always used to talk about how important it is for parents to educate themselves on raising a child.
Correct.
And so I asked him, have you ever been approached by a parent who asks you all of these questions and who has all of these problems?
Correct.
Who have themselves read a book about Islamic upbringing?
Uh-huh.
And he says, no, never.
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 Because no one wants to read, you know?
They think, and I've seen this mentality, that they think, yeah, as soon as you get a child, as soon as the mother, she births her child, she becomes a mother. She knows everything. And it's the same for the father.
Ilham.
Yeah, yeah, it comes, in the
naturally
instance.
Naturally to them. No, but the challenge is, like you've rightly pointed out, the parents don't read the books. they don't even approach scholars asking for advice.
They don't educate themselves at all.
And when do they approach the scholar?
When it's too late. When they're faced with so many problems.
When the child is indulging into so many more problems. And that's when they say, oh, please, please, please help me. And you're like, you've come too
late.
They're like, oh, that's an excuse. Yeah. You don't have an answer. You don't have
a
solution.
They think there's one dua or one pill you can give them and feed it to your child and that's it.
That's not how it is. You have handed over your child to the television for 7, 8, 9 years, constantly feeding him information.
Unsupervised.
And then you want the scholar to talk to him for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour,
and change his
whole life and worldview and perspective.
Right.
Not going to happen, right?
Right, right. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, dear Sheikh.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Now, just before we went on a break, we were talking about the impossible task that some parents, they give to these scholars who, they come to these scholars after their children have already, for example, been in a car accident, and they tell them, okay, how can we cure them? How can prevent this accident?
Yeah, how can I prevent this accident?
It's already
exactly
happened.
It's over. It's over. Right. It's already there. So I think, as a suggestion, probably to our viewers and listeners, maybe you should talk to your community centers and ask them to organize programs which talk about child upbringing at different age levels, including this topic, the taboo topic of sexual desires of our teenagers.
Right. Of course, you should do this in a controlled environment.
Obviously.
That don't have mixed gender groups.
Correct.
Right, for example.
Correct. Doing it separately.
Do it logically, Islamically.
And making sure that the right kind of audience is attending it, so on and so forth. So taking care of all those. But we need to understand that hormonal changes and sexual desires is a natural process of growing up of a teenager, be it a girl or a boy. They go through it naturally. And if someone is not having these desires, that means there's a problem with it. There's a medical problem with it. They need treatment for that.
Right.
So it's a natural process. But there are certain elements that impact it by intensifying it or absolutely weakening it. One of the elements that contributes towards intensification of sexual desires is the kind of dressing that people wear around.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. So this is where I wanted to point that, when we talk about teens growing up, then the parents, especially mother, and if there's a girl in home who's elder to the boy or younger to the boy, make sure that their dressing is appropriate. We still find people living in the Western world, and because it's a natural norm to wear short skirts or
short skirt with a jean beneath,
jean or top, or short tops or spaghetti tops,
in essence,
non-Islamic clothing, right?
Right.
And this is what is going to contribute to his thinking. It's going to give him images, inappropriate images, because he's going through that change. And sometimes it's not in his control.
Right.
The thought process and the images are not
in his
control.
It is a natural desire.
It's a natural thing, right? So if the mother is not careful of what kind of dress to wear, how to behave with the father at home, particularly when the son is growing up and he's in teenage, or the daughter is growing up and she's in teenage, the father should not wear shorts at home, should not go around topless, shirtless, and stuff like that. And the parents, the interaction between themselves, the mother and the father, they should avoid all kind of intimate interaction, all sensual discussions, even kissing, so much so that to make sure that it does not affect the child's thinking.
Would you also say that sweet talking others in front, like calling your wife, for example, my love, or all of these honeyed words, is that also something you shouldn't do?
No, I think that'll be again ifrat, like you mentioned, going to that extreme that, calling her respectable names is okay.
No, but not respectable, like lovable.
Lovable yeah. names like my dear, my love, honey.
Yeah.
And this honey is not out of that, you know, the sexual okay. element in it, right?
Just so we can put the limit so some people, they do not go to
exactly,
the extreme.
Right. So right. expressing love, there's nothing wrong with that. Expressing love, which is seen as right. respect and love together.
Right. Forgive me for interrupting you, but we'll have to go on a quick break.
Sure, then we'll come back.
Yes, bismillah.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Now, just before we went on a break, we talked about that the mothers and fathers, they should be very careful with how they dress and behave in front of their children who are growing up. And we have many narrations and riwayat talking about this.
Exactly.
Like what a mother should wear, what she shouldn't wear.
Exactly.
Right. And how we even have a narration that's very interesting. So even grown up small girls, sisters, they shouldn't sleep together in the same bed.
In the same bed. And that'll be something we'll be discussing as next part in our, probably the next episode. But today let's focus on the dressing element, right?
Right.
So and we were talking about expressing love towards your partner. So
right.
the father expressing love towards mother and mother expressing love towards
right.
father.
Be careful, but
exactly.
do not do it too much.
Yeah,
yeah.
You use respectable words. Use
right.
words which are not provocative, especially sensual and sexually provocative words.
Right.
Use words which are respectable and treat her with respect. Show to your children that I'm respecting the mother. They will learn from the father and they will respect the mother. Similarly, the mother should show
right.
that I'm respecting the father. He's the wali of our household. He is the head of the house. He deserves that respect, and she should show that respect. Children will respect the parents.
We have a narration that says, or the meaning of this narration said that the family, the household, the mother, they are the factories of the future generations.
And
everything should be taught in the household, including
exactly.
how a husband should act with his wife and how a wife should
act
with her
husband. Exactly.
It is all in the household.
So this is where it all matters. So the dress code of the parents, the dress code of the brothers and sisters around you.
That's also very important.
And
right.
the dress code of the father, all this plays an important role.
Going back to the makeup thing about when we said that the young teenagers or girls who want to wear makeup, again, do not let them do it too much in
exactly.
front of their brothers.
And now you understand why I
right.
kept saying don't exaggerate,
yes.
don't overdo, because it's going to affect the other siblings in the
right.
house.
Whether
right?
you like it or not, it
but
is a natural
it's
fact.
A natural
and
thing.
Do not
it's
want to mention some of these problems we have
exactly,
in some.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, let me quickly bring you to another part. The dress of the teen himself, you know, be it girl or boy, avoid, you know, if you are buying it for them or they themselves are buying, tell them not to buy tight dressing for themselves. The more the dress is tighter,
yeah.
the more
this
they
is
feel.
Horrible. This
yeah.
is horrible.
I know. The scenario, the situation is really
right.
bad.
Nobody listens to it.
But tight clothing is.
First of all, it's makruh. We have in the riwayat. Do not wear
tight clothing.
Do not
That's
wear
one.
Short clothing.
That's one. Part
right.
two. If we have a boy and a girl in the same house, imagine girl is a teen, boy is also at teen level. Now, boy wants to wear tight clothing, girl wants to wear tight clothing, the body shape is visible. It's
right.
going to contribute to the hormonal imbalance of the boy. And
right.
the boy's dressing is going to contribute towards the hormonal imbalance of the girl, right? So it is extremely important to understand why Islam has certain traditions and
right.
certain ahadith in place, which says, don't do this, don't do this,
yes,
don't do
because
this.
Because it's all
do
about
this and
being
this and
preemptive.
This. Exactly.
Preventing what may happen.
You are providing
right.
the ground for guna.
Yes.
Right? So
for
Islam
sin.
Is right. Is already preconceived all these scenarios.
Right.
And I've already suggested the methods and the techniques for the parents to follow to make sure that it does not lead our children towards guna.
Well, and just a final narration when we will end today's session.
about this importance of how people should treat the opposite gender. In a gathering, I believe it was Imam Musa Rida alayhi salam, he was sitting in a gathering, and one of the followers, the Shias, they entered the gathering, and with them were the small daughter. She was maybe 5-6 years old. Now, correct. It is very custom, very normal for us. Everybody says hello to the daughter, kisses her, maybe shakes correct. Her hand, hugs her, right? Correct. And so this follower of the Imam, he took his daughter to the Imam so they may greet each other.
Correct.
And the Imam, he only said salamu alaykum, only greeted her, didn't
correct.
Touch her,
correct.
Didn't look at her. Yeah. He treated her like a complete woman.
Correct.
And he was shocked. And why did the Imam do so? Because she, in the future, or because she herself, she's a woman. She's not a girl any longer.
Correct. And now she's close to that age, right? She's 5 and 6, and 2 years later, already. She's going to attain, bulugh, puberty.
Right.
So right from this moment, she needs to be trained to behave
exactly.
That way.
So I strongly advise our dear listeners to please take a look at the narrations we have, the authentic narrations, and how our imams used to live. Even though they lived in a different age, the circumstances were the same. And with that, we will have to end today's program because we are out of time. I thank you for contributing to this discussion and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.